What's up, y'all? This is Dave.
And this is Devin.
And you're listening to the Dave and Dev podcast. Dave and Dev. Gotta keep it real like Dave and Dev. On my job like Dave and Dev. Tell no lie like Dave and Dev. Some days I wanna stay in bed, but I get ready for the day ahead. I wanna complain, but I pray instead. Then I'm on my way to that Dave and Dev. And it go like, I don't need a crew. Don't play by he say, she say rules. Complain, no, we can't do. I'd rather have faith while G-O-D make moves.
So please stay cool.
All I do is speak the truth on things I see they do. I'm a sinner myself, no lie, I need grace too. We lit like EKU, yeah. What it do? I'm trying to channel my best Kawhi.
What it do, baby?
Yeah. Good morning, man. How's it going?
Oh, man, it's good, man. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing really well. I'm super excited to touch on this this subject. So this is going to be a really good one, man.
I'm excited. How's life going for you, Dave?
It's good, man. It's good. Excited to be podcasting for the second week in a row.
Consistency.
You know, after our brief hiatus.
Cheers for consistency.
Hey, amen. Now if we can get like 3, 4, 5, 15, 20, we'll be in good shape.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool, man. Well, hey, listen, I'm gonna go right into it. So if you listen to the podcast for a long time, there's probably been something that you haven't heard a whole lot about, and that's Major League Baseball.
Oh, jeez.
So Devin obviously is a Cleveland Indians fan growing up in the Cleveland area, but I think I can speak on behalf of both of us that he has probably not watched very many games since they were in the World Series.
I was going to say, since the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead against the Cavs, and then that same summer, the Indians blew a 3-1 lead, I was done.
That
was it for me.
So I'm from the Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati area, so grew up a big Reds fan. last year, I think I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to try to watch more than 15 innings of baseball next year. Like, I'm pretty sure combined I watched less than two games. But, I caught a couple good ones, caught a couple good endings. But the Reds are shaping up to have a good season, so we'll see. Maybe I'll be a little bit better than fair weather.
Here's my gripe with baseball.
The season's so long.
And the games are so long, too. The games aren't interesting unless you're there at the game.
Or it's the fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh game of the World Series or Championship Series.
And I get, like, there's true baseball fans who love it, and they watch every single game. They watch all 160-whatever games. I get that, but, geez, man.
I just don't got the juice.
There's no swagger. There's no, like... There's no shot clock.
Very little swagger.
You can't celebrate, because if you celebrate, you're going to get beamed with the ball the next pitch.
I hate that.
Could you imagine in basketball if someone crossed somebody over, they celebrate, next play down, they're about to get hard foul? Like, come on, dude.
That's terrible. You're right, though.
It's the only sport where you cannot have swag or you're going to get hurt for it.
Pretty much. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
So... on the subject of baseball, if you have not been living under a rock, you've heard that the Houston Astros have been cited for a cheating scandal. And I just wanted to give a little brief history to it for those who are maybe not sportsers or those who are and don't watch baseball or care about baseball. So growing up as a Cincinnati Reds fan, we were in the same division as the Astros until 2013 for my, like, life. After I remember them having, you know, Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell, they had some really good teams. But after 2001, up until 2013 when they went to the AL, they were terrible, like not good. Always competing with the Reds for the bottom of the barrel in the NL Central. 2013, 14, 15, I think they struggled. But in 2017, they have a nice roster, good pitching staff. And, yeah, they go win the division, finish the season out with 101 wins, which is just ridiculous. And they crush it. Go sweep the Red Sox, beat the Yankees in the AL championship game, and then beat the Dodgers for the World Series. So that's all fine and dandy. Jose Altuve has like an incredible season, which if you don't know who Jose Altuve, he's like 4'8" and swings the bat like it's a daggone like 2x4.
Like and from Flintstones.
Shout out to Jose Altuve, man. Your apology was terrible. Anyway.
Oh, we'll get to that soon.
So we'll get to that part soon. So basically, after that, there was a bunch of teams that actually accused the Astros of cheating. Like, there were teams that, like, were like, man, they are cheating. Like, this is not, like, something's going on. We can't figure it out. Like, people had ideas. And then back in November, this pitcher named Mike Fears, we'll call him the whistleblower. He is no longer with the Astros. He comes out to, I think it was the Athletic. No, it wasn't the Athletic. Anyway, he comes out and says, like, yo, here's what happened. They were cheating. Now, mind you, this guy has a ring from this team. So, like, let's just keep that, like, straight. But, like, so, anyway, he comes out, blows the whistle. They were investigating it already, but he was kind of the first person to come out and say something that was on the team.
Snitching.
And snitching. Now, let me just say this. It'd be your own people. But this man had the worst record of any of their starting pitchers for that season. He was 8-10. So, you know what I'm saying? 5.22 ERA. I'm just saying, he's the type of person that's going to snitch on the team, right? He's the one guy that wasn't that successful. So he got a ring for being less than average, right? So I'd be mad too, I guess. but anyway, so this whole thing all comes out basically to get, like, give everybody an idea of what they were doing. They had cameras set up in the outfield that were watching the catcher, the pitcher, the coaches, whoever was giving out the signs for what pitches were coming. And they had a trash can. This is like the most, like, Bush League. Like, if you're in, I don't know, high school baseball, like traveling league, something you would do. So they were banging on trash cans to communicate what pitch was coming to the batter.
Bruh.
Okay, so let's just say, Devin, me and you, we aren't avid baseball fans. But if we could just be, you know, candid here for a second and pretend that we were hitters and we were standing at the plate and we were like, oh, my goodness, I'm across, you know, I'm 60 feet or however far away the pitchers are from this all-star incredible pitcher. Like, what the heck is he going to throw on a normal day? And then the next day I'm like, hey, I know he's throwing a fastball this time. How much better would that help somebody to hit the ball?
It changed the game.
I mean, it changes the game. So if I'm little Jose Altuve, we're gonna call him little Jose. If I'm little Jose and I'm at the plate and I know that Clayton Kershaw is throwing me a changeup and, like, I'm gonna crush it. I'm going to hit it at least one out of every two times instead of my normal, like, one out of every three or four times, which is, like, the major league average, like 300, yeah. Right? So, like, I feel like we can all assume that – now, granted, some of these pitchers are incredible, and, like, even if you knew what they were throwing, it'd still be hard to hit. So, like, we're not saying that, like, like, made it perfect, but, like, it definitely helped.
Right. Yeah, it's not easy to hit anything at 90 miles an hour coming at your face. But if you know what direction the 90 mile per hour thing coming at your face is going, you're probably going to have a better chance of hitting it.
So there's one, like, I've read a bunch of articles, and I think, like, one of the things that I found really interesting is that witnesses, people inside the Astros organization or people that, like, were like, man, something is going on. Like, these people were really they were really insistent that this was a player-driven scheme, right? Like, this was the players utilizing technology. So I'm sure that it did involve people that were not players, but this was a player-driven, like, scheme that was going on, right? So keep that in mind as we kind of finish the rest of this, like, brief tutorial of what happened. So in 2018, they continued to do it. However, there was no part of the report that showed that the Astros used, you know, electronic equipment to steal signs in the 2018 postseason. So 2018 is kind of like, they probably like cooled off on it. Like, oh man, people are probably about to know, right? Like, I feel like that's your like easy, like go-to, right? So basically, once that was like whistleblown and they had already been investigating it because there was like some heavy, like people, you know, saying like, oh, this is what happened. Well, basically, after the investigation in January was complete, they announced, you know, the suspension of the manager from the team who was still there, the general manager. And now, mind you, this was a year suspension, the loss of first and second round draft picks in both 2020 and 2021, and a $5 million fine, which is the highest possible fine the MLB can fine a team. So there's kind of the punishments. And, yeah, what do you notice about those punishments, Devin, that's really interesting after we just said that everyone was so insistent on it being a player?
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't punish the right people.
They didn't punish anybody.
Yeah. No one got punished.
Like, it's mind-boggling to think that this player-driven scheme, which – even if it did involve, you know, the players and the personnel, right? So in my opinion, coach fired, like, and he was fired. Like, I think that's like a lifetime ban type situation for me. Because when you do something like that, like when your team is actively engaged in something like that, you have to know about it or you have to get to the bottom of it, right? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I would say Pete Rose did less. Ain't got lifetime. Like,
yes. This man will never ever see the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he's arguably the greatest hitter of all time. And all betting on his own team is a terrible thing. But like, this is way worse. Like, way worse.
I mean, it comes down to the same thing. It's the integrity of the sport.
Yep.
That got diminished, and I mean, honestly, I would ban those players, and they have to start over.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you have a situation where all these players were actively involved. And here's the thing I understand. Like, I understand that you can't, like, punish every single player on the team, right? Because you don't know who exactly was or wasn't involved. But after these reports, I'm pretty sure they had a good idea of at least five or six people. Like, when you read these articles, like, Carlos Beltran is, like, repeatedly discussed. Carlos Beltran's, like, a veteran center fielder at the time, or outfielder at the time. Like, literally, I think he was 40 during this season. Yeah, 40. So, I mean, like, he's been around forever. And, like, you have these other guys that benefited so heavily. Like, I think you got to strip Jose Altuve's MVP. Mm-hmm. I think you have to strip the championship, right? Yeah. Like, so many teams across the landscape of sports have been punished more harshly for way less, in my opinion. In terms of, now, should they have, like, all kept their punishments? I think so. Like, I'm thinking specifically, like, Louisville basketball. I'm thinking of the college football teams that have lost for, you know, their – own things like back in the 80s, SMU, the whole nine yards there. So anyway, I think that there's like just some real interesting things that should have and could have happened. So it's just wild. So my first thing to you, Devin, is to ask this question. You know, after hearing all that, and then you also heard the the apology, quote unquote, that they had on ESPN with Dusty Baker, who had been a manager for all of, I don't know, 3 days, the GM, and then two players, one of their young guys, Alex Bregman, who's a like killer third baseman, and then Jose Altuve. Like, what are your thoughts on that portion of the story?
So, little fun fact: my undergraduate degree is in public relations, and this was a case study of exactly what not to do. No one admitted they were wrong. They were adamant that they didn't cheat. And when asked, like, hey, we're sorry, but we didn't cheat. So what are you sorry about? What's going on? Like, what are you apologizing for? And they still hold to this stance that they didn't do anything wrong. It's absolutely the worst thing. That's the absolute worst thing that you could have done. I would rather them not say anything than say that.
Yeah, it's
that, and I mean, talk about for Dusty Baker, man. Talk about a tough situation to be in. You got to come into a situation, and everyone is going for your team next year. They hate your team.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're basically going to be playing dodgeball next year when you go to the plate. It's terrible.
I think I posed it and sipped the juice. I said, on a scale of 50 to 500, how many times do you think the Astros players are going to get either hit by pitch, gosh, thrown at their head, thrown behind their back next year? It's going to be so bad.
I mean, they stole MVPs. They stole championships. I mean, LeBron said it too. He's like, I'll be livid.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Ain't no way I come out of that a happy camper. You know, I think the most – you kind of touched on it, but, like, the most fascinating thing was that the – his name's – last name's Crane. Is he the owner of the team?
Hey, sure, you're asking baseball questions today.
Well, anyway,
so this is the first time I've talked about baseball outside of baseball season in, goodness, probably my whole life.
Absolutely. So it's just so relevant. And so
shout out to
the owner, Jim Crane,
for actually making baseball. Shout out to the Astros for actually making baseball interesting outside of like October.
Hashtag make baseball great again.
It just took some corrupt people, I guess.
Exactly. Hey, look, that's what happens, man. It's like our political landscape. Shots fired. So, owner Jim Crane, let me go ahead and finish this one. So, owner Jim Crane, during the press conference, is getting full court pressed, right? 100 miles an hour. And you know that this man has lawyer, PR people behind him. And he said, like you said, he admitted that they did something wrong. However, he said it. How could it have possibly affected the outcome of these games?
So what you mean?
Like, I'm gonna just let that sink in for like 1 second. Like, oh yeah, we cheated, but see, it really didn't affect the outcome of the games. Like, we would have won the World Series without it, and maybe they would have. Like, we can't say that. But on the flip side of this, like, y'all won the World Series while you cheated to get there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't say that it didn't not affect the outcome of the game, right? Like, it just makes no sense. So I kind of, like, just throw this over to you. Like, so what are your thoughts on the punishment that they receive? Like, what should have happened? Can the MLB even say face on this? Like, what is the next
step? Yeah, I think, and it's kind of sad, but, like, the punishment's already been dealt out by the MLB, and it was towards the wrong people. So going back and punishing them again would kind of almost be like saying, okay, the first one wasn't good enough, let me go back and punish you again. And I don't think as an organization that's ever going to happen. So that's kind of, it's kind of over and done with on that regard. I think the punishment was too light. I mean, if the MLB has a history of banning like people like Pete Rose for life because of his lack of integrity, this is a whole team who did something
for a whole season, maybe two, maybe 15.
And,
I mean,
and it changed the outcome of the games. Like, it wasn't just one player that was trying to change the outcome of the game. It was the whole team. So, if you're on that roster, I mean, we would have to suspend you for, at least for a season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that's what I think about that. What's your thoughts?
I mean, I agree. Like, I think, like you say, in retrospect, there's really no way to go back and like really do anything further. I think that Major League Baseball is going to have a really tough season this year, trying to navigate the potential consequences for the other teams, from the other teams, if that makes sense. Like, so I kind of joked about it, but like on a dead serious note, it would be really hard for me, especially in a sport like baseball, where this is almost kind of allowed. But like, if I'm the Yankees, it would be really hard for me not to throw at somebody's head. Like Lil Jose, I'm beaming you in the face. Like, you know, like if I'm Aaron Judge, like, first game of the season that they play against each other, I'm probably sliding whoever's pitching 20 G's. Hey, look, man, I'm going to pay for your fine, too, whenever you get it. Like, you get suspended, it's on me. I'll take the L. Like, this is going to be like Greg Williams 2.0 from the NFL. Like, this is like going to be bounty for hitting people. I'm dead serious. Like, I think that you're going to see that, like, for real.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how the MLB will navigate that, because people are not going to be – like, they're not going to play nice.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, here's the thing. I know this is kind of getting off topic a little bit, but the NFL is already the MLB is already a boring league. Like, the players can't wear, they don't have the fancy shoes. It's not really a league where, like, if I asked you to name, like, the last five MVPs from the MLB, could you do it?
I mean, I could take a stab, but it wouldn't be fluid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, it to me, it's just so hard to keep my interest because the season is forever long and it's so drawn out. Like, I think they need to play like 70 games, 80 games, like the NBA.
Yeah, and it's just such a, I mean, I get the tradition and the history of it, but it's not America's most popular sport anymore. We're kind of past that. Like, I think fans follow players, and there's no player who really has that big of an impact in the game. Like, there's no LeBron James in the MLB.
I mean, I think it's arguable. I think there are. I think we probably just aren't, like, super aware. But there's nobody that's transcending culture, I think, is the other part, right? So, like, you look at these – you look at the NBA and the NFL, right? You have athletes that are not only at the top of their sport – but they also transcend culture in different ways, right? Especially like for like me and you who grew up in big cities or near big cities, right? Big-ish cities, I should say. Like you want people that are like super just global athletes, right? And I think the MLB has a couple of them. Like I think about like Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, those sort of guys, but like, what are they really doing to transcend culture other than be great baseball players? And like, nobody really knows them outside of the baseball world, if that makes sense. Like, so I think that that's an interesting thing. And I'm sure there's tons of players that do a lot of great stuff and are big in the baseball world, but it's just different. And I think for me, like, and a lot of people would argue, like, I think that the hand-eye coordination that it takes to hit a baseball and, you know, what it looks like to place your pitches. Like, those are all super impressive things. But, like, it's not – there's nothing like seeing a 6'8", 260-pound, you know, freak of a human being run 94 feet and dunk a basketball on somebody's face.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's in basketball and football, there's like a level, an element of creativity. Like during baseball season, you watch Sports Center Top 10, you're going to see essentially the same plays every
diving
night.
Diving catches, catches over the wall, and that's pretty much it. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just hard. And I think that there's like tons of like super huge baseball fans that would love to probably just argue with that. And I'd be willing to take that on. But I'd also just be curious at what else they like. Because I just find that I just can't get into it anymore. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try. All right. So in light of this apology, I'm going to ask this in two ways, okay. Dev. So in light of this Astros apology, you kind of already alluded to what your like brief thoughts on it were. I'd like you to maybe expand on that, like what Wright would have looked like. And then, as you know, this is Dave and Dev, and we look at it from a whole nother side of things. Like, what do you like repentance and apologies look like interpersonally and between us and the Lord? Like, I'm curious, like, so like we have like a two-part question here. So what you would have changed about their apology and like what that actually looks like when we apologize and we repent.
Man, so there's a couple different ways you can look at this. So there's apologies and then there's repentance. Like you can feel sorry that you did something, but you're not repentant of it. And so just getting to like the repentance is like, I want to make things right. I want to make, you know, I want to have a right relationship again. And so, you see this a lot of times, like in NCAA, and it's not actually like repentance. It's trying; they're probably just trying to just cover their tails, but like they'll self-impose actions on themselves. And it would have been different if the Astros would have self-imposed actions on themselves. And at least that would have showed that, no, we admit that we're wrong. It should have been humble. Like, listen, we're wrong. We accept any further action. That's gonna happen, and sure. that didn't happen. So the thing is that I'm going back to this verse in 2 Corinthians 7. It says, "For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I regret it, I see that letter grieved you only for a while. As I rejoice not because you grieved, but because you grieved in repenting." For you felt a godly grief that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. And so this is what, like, a godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation. And there's a difference between a godly grief is, like, you want to make that relationship right. Into whereas, like, worldly grief, which is just, I'm sorry, and it leads to death. Like, you're just saying, I'm sorry. I messed up. I cheated. I'm sorry. And it's kind of like a shrug of the shoulders and you just keep going. Whereas a godly grief is a repentance. It's a full 180. Knowing that not only did you offend the players around you, but it's an offense to God. Like your integrity and how you walk as a man, as a Christian, is also like, before you, like, you know, love God and love your neighbor, before you offended your neighbor, you offended God. And so it's a full, hey, man, I was walking in my own sin. Now I'm turning around. And now I want to follow God in this way.
I think if I could sum up what you just said in like one statement, like apology is I'm sorry. Repentance or truly being apologetic over something should inconvenience the apologizer, right? Like it should be hard to go and do that, and it should take something that's away, fine. Right? And not necessarily like, I don't know, we can look at it on a really small scale or a really big scale, but like it should be really difficult to go and you should have to give something up, whether that's time, effort, energy, whatever it might be, like you should have to give something up in relation to that apology. So like I think that you hit the nail right on the head with that. And it leads me right into my next, like, thought process, like, where I'm at. Like, okay, so this is a scandal, right? How do we as believers, like, how do we see scandals? And not necessarily just this situation with the Astros. Like, this is just a microcosm of, like, what everyday life looks like in the business world and politics and sports and anything. There's tons of scandals all the time, and a lot of them we probably don't even know about. But like, how do we look at those things as believers? Like, what's our heart towards that?
Yeah. I mean, the first one is whatever's, you know, true and righteous. We should pursue those things. And so with those things, those good things, those true things, those righteous things, like those are things that we should be excited about. Obviously, this is something that was done in sin. So you can't, we don't celebrate over that. I mean, I think as Christians, when I'm viewing this, I see it like, one, we live in a fallen world.
Sure.
There's people sin, and it just shows that how much more we need Jesus. And not to over spiritualize this whole issue, but when I view things like this, like players acting out of integrity, like, I mean, just to me, it just reminds me, like, man, we really need Jesus. And like, how much more like should I be careful in my walk with Jesus, not to fall into those steps. And so you just keep a prayerful heart and just keep be humble about those things, because we're not too far away from doing something like that.
Right. Like, we're not, like, nobody is above doing something like that. Like,
yeah,
it's just so crazy to think that that could happen to anyone. You know what I'm saying? It could be in your day-to-day life, your job, your, you know, with your spouse, like whatever it might be, your kids, like nobody is above like being sinful. So I think you call it, like, you have to be prayerful over those situations and everything you do, and live in like an act of like constant prayer to avoid them. But also too, from the outsider's perspective, I think that there's like some grace that should be offered in the process, right? While it's being like investigated, and then it's like, hey, we got to seek whatever's right and just, right?
Yeah.
And again, though, that's the consequences of being in a fallen world, right? Yep. Like, the consequences of being in a fallen world is that if we look at this team of Astros, right? If we look at the scope of Major League Baseball, the NFL, NBA, anything, we look at the scope of this world, we are in a secular society that does not believe that, like, there are consequences for their actions. They don't believe that there's a God that loves them, like, at the high level, right? So, like, we kind of hit both instances of that, right? And everything in between, that God is, like, woven into our fabric as believers, right?
Yeah.
There's the majority of people do not believe that. And so we can't expect them to operate like that. However, we still have an opportunity. We have to hold them accountable to their actions. But like, in that same sense, there's got to be this like grace. It's like, that could have been me, right? That could have been me that did something like that. Now I'm in this, you know what I'm saying? Like, and there's consequences for it. So I just find it really interesting how we approach things like that. Like, I was listening to a podcast last night, and this, I was texting you about this, this one in particular. It's Southside Rabbi. It's KB, who's a Christian rapper. It's a great podcast. I love it. And I was actually listening to one from a couple months back. And he was just talking about how, like, there's this point as believers where we look at things from the outside looking in, and we say, like, oh, like, I'm so happy with my life as a believer. I'm blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to, like, nothing ever is going to bother me, right? Like, that's one side of the spectrum. The other side of the spectrum is that, like, you grill everything, and there's never anything that brings you joy, or, like, nothing could ever satisfy you, right? And I don't mean that in, like, a like a super theological way, right? What I'm trying to get at is, like, you critique everything, and there's nothing that, like, you could ever take and see as, like, okay, God's going to work in this type of situation, if that makes sense, right? Like, so they're like, as believers, like, we can only get comfortable being uncomfortable in the middle ground of those two things, right? Like, we have to love the Lord and believe that he is trust, you know, that we can trust in that he's always true and right and righteous, and that, like, he gives us good things, and, like, this life on earth is a vapor, and it's hard. And we're going to, like, find ourselves in situations that we're like, are hard to deal with, right? But like, we're gonna love our neighbor and we're gonna love the people we encounter. And sometimes loving them means being truthful to them. Sometimes loving them means accepting them and loving them through whatever they're going through, right? It's like there's this balance that I think that, you know, if we were to be able to pick God's brain right now, like, he would call us to a balance. And I think we see it throughout his entire word, right? We see it throughout the entire Bible. Like he calls us to a life of balance. That's like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? Mm-hmm. And what else does he command us to do? To love our neighbor.
It's attention.
It's attention, exactly. So like there's the space that we have to operate in. And if we're comfortable on one end of those spectrum or the other, like, we're really probably not pursuing that middle ground that God calls us to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's tough. Thought-provoking stuff.
It really is. It really is. And it's funny that it comes from this, like, dinky, in the grand scheme of things, baseball scandal. It's going to be something huge for forever, especially because baseball is boring as heck, and they got to have something to hold on to in the news.
Well, congratulations, Astros. You got us to talk about baseball in February, which hopefully never happens again.
Exactly, exactly. Y'all are the real winners in all this. Well, Dev, man, I appreciate the discussion, the discourse. As always, it's been super real. Next time.
Peace.
Peace.